All right, Matthew 2, are you there? All right, let's begin reading in verse 1, please, and you follow along as I read the account of the wise men coming to look for the Lord Jesus. All right, look at verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. All right, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ, where the Messiah, all right, when you see the word Christ in your New Testament, that is the Messiah, all right, Christos, and it is Messiah. Don't miss that, all right? Herod says, he demanded of them where the Messiah should be born. Now, why did he ask them? Well, he asked them because they knew these Old Testament scriptures like the back of their hand. So they knew what the Bible had to say about where the Messiah would be born. Okay, so that's why Herod asked them. All right, now, question. Why didn't Herod just fall in line and seek to find the Lord Jesus so he could worship him? I mean, if he had enough sense to call the scribes and the elders in to question them about what the Bible says about the Messiah, why would he not believe that? All right, look at me. It's a choice. And he chose not to. What's your choice? Selah, think about it. All right, read on. That's not the message. That was free. All right, read on. It says in verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and that prophet is Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. And Micah 5, 2 says, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. In other words, when did you first see this star? All right, everybody got that? When did you first see this star? And so the answer is this. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Do you get that? Didn't say baby, did it? Didn't say infant. Didn't say newborn. He said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now in italics, it ought to say wink, wink, nod, nod. Because he had no intentions whatsoever of going to worship the king of the Jews. You say, why not? Because he was king of the Jews. And he certainly did not want to give up his throne. Verse 9, and when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the infant was. Doesn't say infant, does it? No, young child. All right? Young child, not baby, but young child. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, not stable, all right? But when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. Look at me. Not her. Not her. They worshiped him. Again, Selah, think about it. They worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for the word of God. And I pray you'll bless as we open your word and look at its truths this morning. And Father, we are so thankful that our Savior came into this world and lived and died so that we could have eternal life. And Father, he went to that cross to pay our sin debt. He had no sin of his own. He was not paying for his sin. He had none. But he was paying for our sin. The wages of sin is death. And there on the cross, the Savior paid our debt. We rejoice in that today. And Father, I pray you'll bless your word. Give us understanding. Now we ask in Christ's name, amen. I just love every single part of the Christmas narrative. I love it all. I love to read the gospel of Matthew and read the first couple of chapters of Matthew. I love Luke's take on all this, and both of them give us the complete story of the birth of our Savior into this world. I love the story about the shepherds, and I love the idea or the story about the angels, the Shekinah lighting up the night sky, the shepherds coming up the ridge to see Mary and Joseph and the baby. I just love the entire narrative. I guess that I have for 47 almost. Probably longer than that now, years, preached on these chapters every year at Christmas time, so many times that there's not a whole lot new that that I could say about it. But I want to try to take the story here now of these wise men who came from the east, who came from probably from Babylon, the Chaldean region, and were searching for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've preached on King Herod. I've preached on the wise men themselves. I've preached on the gifts that they offered, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I've preached on King Herod. I've preached on Herod sending the soldiers down to Bethlehem to kill all the children 2 years old and under in an effort to kill the Lord Jesus. I guess I've preached on about all of it. But this morning, I want to show you something that I trust will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. And I want you to know that, as I have already emphasized as I read the scriptures to you, I want you to know that I personally do not believe these wise men showed up on the night the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. All right, I know you say, well, my nativity scene says I had wise men in my nativity scene. I know you did. I know you did. But let's let the Bible interpret the Christ, Christmas story and not, you know, whoever. Let's just stick with the Bible. I believe that these wise men showed up about 2 years after the Lord Jesus was born. If you look at verse 16, you will see that what Herod did, and this is why I say that. It's verse 16 says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the," what? "Children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof," in other words, all the little villages around, "from 2 years old and under." Now, why did he do that? He was eliminating a threat. You see, those wise men said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And Herod thought, "Wow, I'm the king of the Jews. What are you talking about? I'm the king of the Jews." And so he went down to Bethlehem and slaughtered all the children that were 2 years old and under. My, 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 what a ruthless individual Herod was. All right, so why 2 years? Well, because that would have probably been, in all probability, been the distance between the birth of Christ and when the wise men showed up. It would have been about a 2 year period. All right, but there's more evidence than just Herod going back to Bethlehem to slaughter the babies. I think it's clear that these wise men were not in the stable on the night that Christ was born. I think probably the star could have first appeared to them on this very night. All right, on this very night. That could have been all the way back in Babylon when the star first appeared to them. And they decided to come to find the king of the Jews. So that's why they went to Nazareth to find the baby. All right, they did not go down to Bethlehem to find him. They were headed to Bethlehem, but then the star appeared and turned them, instead of south to Bethlehem, north to Nazareth. You say, why Nazareth? Because if you remember, that's where Joseph and Mary were from. Amen. They lived there. They lived in Nazareth. And so when they came to Nazareth and the star stopped, they went to the house over which the drone stopped. All right, just making sure you're paying attention. No, the star stopped where it appeared and knocked on the door, and there they presented their gifts and worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. So in that 2 year period, don't you think that Joseph and Mary would have left Bethlehem? The only reason they were in Bethlehem was to pay their taxes, because they were from the lineage of King David. So they had to go down to Bethlehem in order to pay their taxes to the Roman government. And in Luke 2:4, we are told clearly that Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth, but they left their home to go down to Bethlehem, the city of David, in order to pay the taxes that they were owed, or that they were being charged. And while they were there, Mary gave birth to the Savior in a little system of caves. It is not 100% sure the exact spot, although like everything else over there, a church has been built over top of it. There are three religions that are three different churches that occupy that one church. It's called the Church of the Nativity. And there are three different churches that worship in that quote unquote building. All right. Now you go down into the basement and there is a system of caves. And that system of caves goes all the way across the front of the city of Bethlehem. We'll sit up here on a plateau, and then that cave system is along the face that drops off and goes down to the Dead Sea and Jericho, all right? Now, that is where, somewhere in there, that the Lord Jesus was born. But we know that that he was not born in a hospital. We know he was not born in a mansion. We know he was not born in King David's palace, which was now Herod's palace. We know that none of that happened. None of it happened. But he was born in the stable where the people kept their animals away from the outside weather. All right, now look at Matthew 2 and verse 9. In verse 9, Herod told them to go and search diligently for the Messiah. So they took off towards Bethlehem. Like the scribes reported to Herod that the Old Testament scriptures stated that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But the Lord Jesus was no longer in Bethlehem. And so as they departed to go south, the star appeared again and led them to the north, to the little village of Nazareth. And notice in verse 9, we read this. They departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. All right, everybody got all that? All right, now that I think is how it all went down. Notice it says young child because the Lord Jesus was now 2 years of age when the wise men showed up at their house in Nazareth. And I think as they turned to go south towards Bethlehem, the star appeared and led them to Nazareth where Joseph and Mary lived. And there they led, that star led the wise men right to the place where the Lord Jesus was living at the time. Now, we are all aware that stars emit light, right? We all know that. We all know that stars emit light. So let's look at this star and see if we can gather some light from it this morning. All right, it helped the wise men to find the Lord Jesus. And let's see if maybe this account of the wise men and the star will help some here this morning find the Savior as well. There are three little quick things I want you to see. First of all, this star was all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it's all about. It was not shining in the night sky. It was not shining there for King Herod. It was not shining for some future thing down the road. No, it was shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us in John 8 and verse 12 that the Lord Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world. And folks, I wholeheartedly believe that when we receive the light that the Lord gives to us, when we receive that light, we put ourselves in a situation where the Lord can increase our light. And the more light we get from God and the more we walk in that light, the more light we're going to receive from God. All right? Light accepted increases light, but light rejected increases darkness. And we know that is that's life. We know that that's the way life works. So these three men here, three, it would have been a caravan. You got me saying that, singing that song. I love that song. Oh, quit. Quit. We a whole bunch of wise men. How about that? These wise men walked in the light that they had been given all the way over in Babylon. You say, well, Pastor, how in the world did they get light over in Babylon? I mean, isn't that a heathen country? Yes, it was. You say, well, how'd they get light then? Well, do you remember in 586 BC? Do you remember what happened? What happened in 586 is Nebuchadnezzar came with his army and conquered Jerusalem. And you will remember that they carried with them 10,000, over 10,000 young people back to Babylon. Now, folks, you can mark it down. These Jewish young men that were carted back to Babylon certainly would have taken their scriptures with them. There's no doubt they would have taken the scrolls with them that they owned or that they had. And not only that, when Nebuchadnezzar headed back, not only did he take over 10,000 young people with him, but he ransacked the temple. Do you remember that? And he took everything that they could carry. He loaded up everything they could carry. And no doubt, the scrolls of the Old Testament scriptures were taken with them. And so these wise men, no doubt read the scriptures, studied them. Remember, they were a brilliant men. They were known as wise men. And they read everything they could get their hands on. They studied it. And they loved, no doubt, the Jewish scriptures. And so so when Jerusalem was captured, those scriptures went to Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar. And they knew the Old Testament prophets spoke of a coming Jewish Messiah. They knew that. You say, how'd they know that? Because they can read. All right? And if you've read your Old Testament, I hope, and what do you read? You read that the Lord Jesus is coming. All right? He came the first time, but he's coming a second time. All right? You say, well, how do we know that? It's in the Bible. You see, folks don't read the Bible. That's the problem. These guys read the Bible. So here they are in Babylon. They're reading the scripture, and they're getting light from the Bible. And now the Lord Jesus appears. He's born, and God speaks to their heart, leads them by the light across the desert, takes him right into Jerusalem, the capital, and says, these men say, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Where is he? All right, you see the point? Folks, they knew that there was a coming king. And so they're in Jerusalem looking for him. And folks, that's why This is why they said to Herod, "We have seen his star." Get that now. We have seen his star in the east. All right. So they knew that this was the light that was leading them to find Israel's Messiah. Whose star was it? It was the Messiah's star. Whose star was it? It was the king's star. They read the Old Testament scriptures and they believed what they read. So the Lord now gives them more light to follow. He gave them his star in the east, and they walked in that light. And so when they did, they received more light. And instead of the star leading them down to Bethlehem, the star led them the opposite way to Nazareth. So light obeyed increases light. I've had folks say, Pastor, I wish I knew as much Bible as you know. Well, you got to realize, folks, that I have been studying the Bible day in, day out for almost 50 some years. All right? I mean, I've been reading the Bible. Why don't you try reading the Bible like that? Why don't you try studying the Bible like that? I mean, you know, you'd be surprised the light that God will give you. And if we walk in the light that he gives us, he's only going to give us more light. So don't miss. It was his star. It was his light. And they walked in it. Now, folks, I think that there is some help for all of us in the application of this truth. You see, today we have, as the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1:19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What's that mean? Well, that means that today we have the Old Testament, sure. We have what they had, but we also have a New Testament. All right, so we have a more sure word of prophecy. What does that mean? That means that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. All right, so now we can read the Messiah's coming, and then in the New Testament, there he is. We can read in the Old Testament that he was to be born in Bethlehem, and lo and behold, in the New Testament, that's exactly where he was born. All right? And you can do the same thing all the way through his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection and his ascension. And folks, both old and new tell us he's coming again. That's our Savior. That's our glorious Redeemer. And if we would just walk in the light that he has given us, then we would soon realize that there's more light that we're given by the Lord. You see, Jesus said that he is the light of the world. But then he turned right around in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and verse 14 and said, "Ye," meaning us, all right, meaning us, "ye are the light of the world." And he is the light of the world, but we are the light of the world. You say, how's that possible? He shines through us. Amen. We don't have any light of our own, do we? Right. Oh, no, we're just old sinners saved by grace. But the more you walk in the light that you're given, the more light you're going to receive. Now, does that make sense to everybody? I hope so. You see, as we read the Bible and grow, more light is given to us. Listen, Christian, whatever your personality, whatever your eccentricities, whatever your talents or abilities, we are to allow Christ's light to shine in our hearts. Why? So folks can look at us as believers in the Lord Jesus and can see us shining with the brilliance of a star for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you are the only Bible. Think of this. You are the only Bible that some folks are ever going to see. Amen. That's a sobering thought right there. You are the only Bible that some folks are ever going to see. Secondly, I want you to notice that this star led them to Jesus. Oh, don't miss that. I mean, that's what it was all about, wasn't it? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's this king? Let's go find him. And so they followed the star, and what did it do? It led them to Christ. You see, it was Christ's star, and it led them across the sands to Jerusalem, and then led them to Nazareth, to the very house where the Lord Jesus was. It led them, let me say it this way, it led them directly, all right, to Jesus. Amen. No sidetracks, no detours. No, it just led them right straight to the Lord Jesus Christ. The star did not throw a rope around them and drag them to Jesus. No, it led them. And when it led them, don't miss this, they followed it. Amen. Folks, when the Lord is leading you, follow that light that he has given you. Don't resist it. Don't turn from it. I remember back before I got saved and the Lord was dealing with my heart. I did not want to change everything about my life. And I knew that if I got saved, I was going to have to change some things. All right? I found out that once I got saved, I didn't have to change. I wanted to change. That's what I found out. All right? But the fact that I knew that if I got saved, I was going to have to, first of all, go to church. I did not want to go to church. All right? I knew that I was going to have to do this and do that, and I knew I was going to have to get baptized. And, you know, I mean, I had enough sense to look forward and know if I get saved, some things are going to change in my life. And I resisted that. And it went for a whole month and then another week before I got saved. But when I got saved, I was so excited, I could not contain the joy that was in my heart. I went to school the next day and witnessed to all my heathen friends. They looked at me like I had two heads. One of them said, "Where were you yesterday?" I said, I was at church. And he said, "Again?" And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Guess what?" He said, "What?" I said, "I got saved yesterday." He said, "Saved from what?" And I thought, where did I get saved from? And then it occurred to me, I got saved from hell. And I told him I got saved from hell. He said, "Well, we're all going to be down there together. It's no big deal." I said, "Not me. Not me. I'm not going." And it wasn't long before I started to witness to those guys, and several of them trusted the Lord as their Savior. Now, you know, there's a couple of them who looked me square in the eye and said, "No, thank you." One of them is in prison and will spend the rest of his natural life in prison. And he's been in prison since he was in high school. Getting all strung out on drugs and taking a baseball bat to a person. Yeah. Pretty bad, huh? One of them that got saved taught in a Christian school, and has been a deacon in his church now for eons, loves the Lord, loves to go soul winning. You see, living for the Lord is a good thing. Amen. It's an honorable thing. And not only that, it gives you a happiness that you're never going to find in the world. You'll never find that happiness in the world, but you will find it with the Lord. You see, that star had such a powerful influence upon them. They could not do anything except follow the light that they were given. And when they did, what happened? It led them to the thing they were looking for. Amen. Amen. Men told them to go south to Bethlehem. Right? That's what men told them. Herod said, you go to Bethlehem. Now, go down there and look for him. When you found him, come back to me and tell me where he is so I can go and worship him also. You little snake in the grass. You had no intentions whatsoever of worshiping the Savior, none. So, the star led them to Nazareth. And when they followed the light, they found what they were looking for. As I told you when we were doing our study on the Shekinah glory of God through the Bible on Wednesday nights, and I told you then that I believe that this star was the Shekinah. I believe it was the glory of God, the essence of God himself that led them. And these men followed the light that they were given, and lo and behold, it led them to the light of the world. The Lord Jesus gives each of us some light. So, folks, we need to walk in that light. You come to church here, and you've heard the gospel. You know that you need to be born again. You know that. You know that you need to call upon the name of the Lord and ask the Lord Jesus to save your soul. You know that. And that little conviction that you feel during the invitation time, that is the Holy Spirit of God saying, hey, I've given you some light. Now walk in it. Walk in it. And don't forget, light accepted increases light. But light rejected increases darkness. That's something to consider, isn't it? Amen. What light has God given to you? Huh? What light has God given to you? Just think about the light that God has placed in your pathway. Are you walking in that light? Then lastly, number three, I want you to notice the star stopped at Jesus. You see, it went before the wise men until it came to where Jesus was, and then it stopped. It stopped. When it got to Jesus, it stopped. You see, the Lord Jesus is our main focal point. He's all we need. The hymn writer expressed it perfectly when he said, Christ is all I need. Because he is. There are a lot of stars shining in the theological sky today. But Jesus is all you need. Amen. Folks will come to me and they'll say, Pastor, I heard this guy on the internet. He said he's a prophet and God said, God speaks through him. Really? You'll sit and watch that. You won't read the Bible. You see, the Bible says that God's going to speak to you through his word. Amen. Not some self-proclaimed prophet. Think about that. But that's true. Christ is all we need, folks. Paul said it this way, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:14. So when the star came to where Jesus was, that's where it stopped. It was fixed. It was unmovable. It was settled. There was no need to look any further. It led them to the one whom they had been looking for. Folks, think about it. 2 years earlier, they said, let us now go even to Bethlehem or to Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and let's go find, let's go search, let's do all we got to do. We've got to find the king. So they come 2 years across that desert. It would have been a huge entourage. They're carrying gold. You don't go across the desert by yourself or even with three men. You come with a caravan. And so can you imagine when that caravan walked into the city of Jerusalem and walked their camels right down Main Street and stopped and looked at King Herod and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Folks, I'll guarantee you, every citizen of Jerusalem and his dog were sitting there in awe looking at that. What in the world is this? What are they talking about? King of the Jews. What are they talking about? Where's the Christ? Oh, they knew what that word meant. The Messiah. And then the word began to start. Has Messiah been born? Well, the answer is, yep, he had been. He had been. Folks, this star was leading these men, and for two long years they walked in its glorious light. And when it reached the house, not a stable, where the young child was, not an infant, with Mary, his mother, then it stopped. Because it didn't need to go any further. They found what they were looking for. I remember the day I got saved. You know what? I found what I was looking for. I wonder how many, don't raise your hand, say amen. How many others can honestly say that when you got saved, you found what you were looking for? Amen. I did too. I did too. I didn't need to go find some enlightened prophet somewhere. No, I got all I need. I got my sins forgiven. Amen. Well, they then bowed down, presented their gifts, and they worshiped him. And you know, it's still true today. You've heard it. You've seen the bumper stickers. And it says, wise men still seek him. Wise men still seek him. Let's bow for prayer. You know, in a crowd this size, there's probably surely someone who is not 100% sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. You're not 100% sure. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many of you here this morning will say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. Would you lift your hand and testify that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Just raise your hand and hold it up. Pastor, I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. There is absolutely no doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, thank you. You may put your hands down. That looked like everybody to me, but I could have missed someone. So let me ask this question. Anyone here this morning who will say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure, but I know I need to be saved. I wish you'd pray for me. I need to find the Lord Jesus. Pray for me, Pastor. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Yes, God bless you. Thank you so much. Good. Are there others? Pray for me, preacher. God's dealing with my heart. Anybody else? You say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. No doubt about it. I know. But then you say, I don't know. I'd like to pray for you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Father, you know our needs, and I just pray that you will speak to our hearts and help us to realize that it's the Lord Jesus that we're looking for. Folks all over are looking for something to fill that emptiness, that hole that is in their lives. And Father, only the Lord Jesus can fill that hole. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is all I need. And if he's all I need, he's all anybody else needs. So Father, help us to trust him. I pray that you'll be with these folks who have raised their hand. Give them conviction of heart, and Father, may they realize the importance of calling upon your name and asking you to be their Savior. So Lord, bless now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.